It's my joy to welcome all of you this morning to West End United Methodist Church, this gorgeous Sunday. What a privilege it is to worship alongside all of you, and especially to welcome those of you who might be worshiping here for the very first time. We're so glad that you're here this morning, and we hope that you feel welcomed and that you feel the Spirit of Christ in this place. One of the ways that we get to know each other a little bit on Sunday mornings is by signing the registration pads, and hopefully they're already making their way down the row. That gives you an opportunity to sign in and look at the names of others sitting on your row and have an opportunity to meet someone new today at the passing of the peace or after the service. If you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we would love to get to know you. And so if you share an email address or a mailing address on the registration pad, that'll give us a chance to reach out to you. If you're a college student, we want you to know that every Sunday after this service, the college students gather in Reed Hall, which is just outside this door, and have lunch together. And it's a great opportunity for fellowship, students of lots of different universities here in town. So we hope that you'll join them for that. This evening, we have our rescheduled youth extravaganza kickoff. It was supposed to be a couple of weeks ago, but there was thunder and lightning. So this week, our youth will be gathering at the Culver's home at 445. And if you need the address to their home, you can text Emily Robbins. Her number is in the insert in the bulletin, and find out where that fun event will be happening. And just make sure, if you're a youth, not to wear good clothes, because you're probably going to get egg on it. That's all I'm going to say. Next Sunday, after the late service, everyone is invited to join Austin Hartke, who is a teacher and a theologian, who's going to lead a couple of sessions for us looking at the biblical and theological foundation for our practice of inclusion of all people, of LGBTQ persons in particular, and why it is that that is a practice of our faith. We do need RSVPs because we're serving lunch, so if you could go online and register, then we'll make sure and have a lunch for you. If you don't need lunch, just feel free to come on and not RSVP. It'll be a wonderful opportunity for learning and sharing together. And finally, we have all been watching Hurricane Dorian as it's made its way up the coast this week, and the devastation that has happened in the Bahamas and damage in both of the Carolinas. One of the wonderful things about being part of our United Methodist Connection is that we can pool our resources and respond in depth to tragedies and disasters when they happen. If you would like to make a donation to help toward disaster relief, if you have a check, you can designate a hurricane relief, or you can put something in an envelope in the pew racks in front of you and designate it for hurricane relief, and we'll make sure it goes directly to the places that need it the most. This morning, we're beginning a new sermon series that will take us all the way up to the season of Advent. For most of the Sundays, we're going to be in the middle chapters of Luke's gospel, when Jesus is on the road heading toward Jerusalem with his disciples. And there is so much that he wants to tell them about what it means to follow him. So let us listen this morning for his voice calling us and leading us forward.
Thank you. God is always counting God's children. God sees and loves us no matter where we are. Even those we do not value, those we do not see, are God's children. Let us come now before God with our confessions, trusting that God is loving and gracious and present in the midst of where we are. God who sees us, we confess that we do not look for those who are lost. We take no interest in connecting with those who offer us no benefit. Forgive us for deciding who matters and who does not. Forgive us for not seeing those around us as worthy of being found and celebrated. When the Pharisees grumbled, you met them with a message of warmth and inclusion. Help us, Lord, to see as you see and extend that compassion to ourselves and our neighbors. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Daniel Page and Hannah Fletcher Page bring their daughter, Penelope Irene Page, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
A family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Hannah and Daniel, as Penelope's parents, I ask you these ancient questions of the faith on behalf of the whole church. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? I think she's answering the questions for herself this morning. There's a question now for you, my friends. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, will you say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. What name is given this child?
Penelope Irene.
Penelope Irene Page. Penelope,
hey.
I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll put your hands on her, we'll pray the prayer of the Holy Spirit.
Hey.
Penelope, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus all the days of your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And yay.
All right, Penelope, let's go and see your new family. Yes. When your mom and dad and I were talking about baptism, she mentioned that when you were in her womb, she thought about the same prayer over the water, the prayer about Noah, and how that water sustained you then, and it sustains you now, and will sustain you forever.
Will the congregation please stand and face Penelope Irene. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sibling in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Penelope Irene to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Penelope Irene, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. That in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the New Testament. If you'd like to follow along, please turn to page 850 in your pew Bible. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God for the people of God.
to be seated, and any kids who want to come forward, come on down. Hey, good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you. Welcome, welcome. Isn't Penelope just the cutest thing? The cutest baby? She's right there, and she's listening, too. Okay, I want to see if any of you can tell what this is. What is it? A jigsaw puzzle. These are the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. I love doing puzzles, and you know what? A lot of people on the staff love doing puzzles. In fact, Pastor Stacy has a puzzle in her office. You should go see it. She finished it this week. It was very exciting. My daughter Martha and I love to do puzzles together, and a couple of years ago, or maybe even longer, she was maybe about some of your guys' age, we were working on a puzzle, and we had it almost finished, and then there was a piece missing, and we looked all over the table, and oh, these are two pieces, and we couldn't find the piece. We got down on our hands and knees under the table, and we were looking everywhere, and we were so desperate to find it because the puzzle's not done if there's a piece missing, right? So we looked and looked and looked, and we were starting to feel sort of sad. And then we looked over, and we saw our dog, Gabby, in the corner. And between her paws was the puzzle piece. I think when we dropped it from the table, she thought it was a piece of food. Do you have dogs? Anybody have a dog that does that? So she grabbed it and took it and started to eat it and then was like, ew, this is cardboard. It's not beef. So we got our puzzle piece back and we were so excited. We were jumping up and down. We put the last piece in. We said, yay, we're so happy. Well, Zach just read a couple of stories that Jesus told about people who were looking for something that was lost. There was a shepherd who lost a sheep and a woman who lost a coin, and they looked and looked and looked and looked until they found it. And Jesus was, one of the things he was saying in those stories is that that's how God is. God looks and looks and looks and looks for people. God never wants anybody to be far away from God's love or lost. And so that's important for us to know, that God is always with us and always looking for us, even when we feel far away and lost. And God wants us to go out and look for other people. There are some people who don't feel very loved, who feel like they're left out. And part of what we get to do is to include people and welcome everybody. Because, you know, the puzzle's not complete if there's somebody missing. Let's pray. Gracious God, you love everybody, and you want everybody in this world to feel your love and to feel like they belong in your family. Help us to know how much you love us and how much we belong, and help us to go out into the world and let other people know how loved they are and invite them to be part of your family. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. Y'all can go back and sit with parents or grandparents or friends. When we find Jesus in the 15th chapter of Luke, he is on the road, as I mentioned earlier. At the end of the 9th chapter of Luke, Luke tells us that Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. And everything that happens after that happens on the road to the cross. Things are getting more heated. There's more controversy. We can imagine that Jesus is aware he just has a little bit of time left. And so he's really intent on teaching his disciples what it means to follow him and what it might cost them. He keeps getting embroiled and involved in more controversies with the religious leaders as he sees that they're just not getting it, what God's will is all about. As he travels down this road, he stops many times along the way to eat. Now, as a parent of teenagers, I know that when you ever take a trip, you gotta stop to eat, lots, right? Well, Jesus was often eating in people's homes, going to wherever he was invited. Sometimes he would be invited to eat at the home of a Pharisee or a religious leader. We see many of those occasions in Luke's gospel. A lot of times it's because those leaders want to check him out. They want to question him. They want to test him. And Jesus gives it right back. A lot of times he's provoking them and saying things just to get them riled up or healing someone when it's the Sabbath day. Sometimes, however, Jesus is invited to the home of someone who's not so high and holy. Sometimes he's invited to share a meal with tax collectors and sinners and people who are not respected and are not seen as worthy in that society. And that's exactly what's happening here at the beginning of the 15th chapter. Jesus is sharing a meal with tax collectors and sinners. Most likely, these were people, in addition to the tax collectors, who were considered morally impure, morally lapsed, perhaps. They behaved in ways that were not holy and were not in keeping with the law. And it was up to holy people to avoid them and keep their ways separate. But there Jesus is, breaking bread with them, sharing a meal with them. And in those days, if you sat down to eat with someone, it was as if you were just accepting them as they are, condoning their behavior. So it's no wonder then, as Jesus is sharing this meal, that there are some grumbling Pharisees looking on. Now, before we judge these Pharisees too quickly, we need to remember that this is how they have been raised and trained in the law. There are certain behaviors and certain things that keep you holy in the sight of God. And there are other things, other unclean practices, other people you associate with that would make you unclean in God's sight, that were unholy. And they believed it was important to maintain a holy lifestyle, which meant for them never breaking bread with people like that. Jesus hears their grumbling. He knows exactly what they're thinking. And so he addresses them and everyone at the table by telling a few stories. Three stories, to be exact. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons. Now, earlier this spring, during the season of Lent, we took 3 whole weeks to explore the parable of the lost sons, the prodigal son, we often call it. So we're going to assume we know everything there is to know about that story. Ha-ha. We're going to focus on these first two, the lost sheep and the lost coin. Now, as we dig into these parables, it's important for us to recognize where we are in the room. How we hear these stories depends a lot on where we're standing. If we are sitting at the table with Jesus, if we are one of those who is a sinner, an outcast, one who has been deemed morally impure, perhaps, by the church or by our society, if we are one of those who is lost, who feels cut off from God for whatever reason and cut off from the people of God for whatever reason, we might hear these stories in a particular way. If, however, we are standing a little bit aloof with the Pharisees, we have something else we might hear. If we are those who might be a little uncomfortable at the kind of people Jesus is hanging out with, he might have something to tell us in these parables too. So let's look at them together. On the surface, they look like very simple stories, very similar stories. There's a person who loses something, they go and look for it diligently, they find it, and then they rejoice. But there's more going on in these stories, and as we dig a little deeper, there's even some challenging, sort of disturbing, confusing stuff that we might not have seen on first glimpse. Take the shepherd, for example. There's a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of them is missing. And he leaves 99 sheep in the wilderness to go and look for the one. Now, some interpreters will say, or even some children's books who have this story in them, will say that the shepherd left the 99 with another shepherd. They usually worked in teams, right? Or left the 99 in a pen, all safe, so they wouldn't wander off. But that's not what the story says. The parable says the shepherd leaves the 99 in the wilderness. This bothers me. This bothers me that in order to chase after one who got lost somehow and wasn't paying attention, the other 99 are left in the wilderness. Fred Craddock made the point, as I read his commentary, though, that if the shepherd had left the other sheep in a pen, there was no risk to the shepherd. His looking for the lost sheep was really more a question of frugality and good business. Instead, as Jesus tells the story, it's a sign that this shepherd is so desperate to find the one lost sheep. You know, they say when a sheep gets lost, it doesn't wander around trying to find its way back. It just finds a place to lie down and give up. And maybe this shepherd was thinking about that poor little sheep who had given up, was lying down in the darkness afraid. That's why the shepherd had to carry it back, because the sheep was almost paralyzed with fear. So Jesus is painting a picture of this shepherd who loves this little sheep so much and has so much compassion for it in its lostness that he's willing to take the risk to go and find it. In the second story, this woman has lost one of her 10 coins. One coin was worth a day's wages, so it's no small change. It's no surprise that she's looking for one coin. But then when she finds it, she invites her neighbors and friends to come over for a party, which probably cost her more than the one coin that she lost. This is not good economy. And yet perhaps it reveals a God who is so filled with joy when one who was lost has been returned. I think Jesus is pointing to a God whose love is so deeply radical, who would search and search and search and search, and who would rejoice with extravagant joy in a way that looks foolish to the rest of the world. So, if you're at the table, if you're one of those tax collectors, or if you're one of those harlots, if you're one of those who's been deemed unworthy by the righteous, these parables are deeply good news. If you are one who knows what it's like to feel lost, to feel rejected, to feel cut off from God for whatever reason, to feel outcast by God's people for whatever reason, then these stories are for you good news, because they reveal a God who will stop at nothing to find you. Stop at nothing. But if you're like me, and you're hanging out on the edges a little bit, and you're watching this mercy and compassion and inclusive love of God welcoming all kinds of people and focusing such love and energy on them, and you feel a little jealous, a little resentful, like, why is all the focus on them and not on me, the 99? I've been here all along. If you're feeling that way, as I feel when I read this parable, then let us hear what Jesus says after the shepherd's parable. There is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Does Jesus really think there are people who need no repentance? Do we think that maybe we're people who don't need repentance? We're already righteous. We've got this thing figured out. We're right. We don't need to turn toward God. God's on our side. If that is at work in our spirit, then these parables have an invitation for us to recognize and remember that all of us have been lost sheep at some point. That we are included in the fold not by our own righteousness and our own merit, but because there's a shepherd who has gone out looking and searching for each and every one of us. And if we are righteous, meaning if we are in right relationship with God, with hearts shaped by God's heart, then we will be rejoicing when a lost sheep is returned or a lost coin is found. We will feel with Jesus the joy of returning one to the fold who has been lost and rejected and despairing. The invitation for those Pharisees, the invitation for the 99 sheep, the invitation for those of us who feel like we're with them, is to join the party. The kingdom of God is meant to be a party with joyful celebration with every single one who comes to the table and is reminded and restored and returned. So, my friends, let's party. And let's go out into the streets and invite everyone we can find. Amen.
With joyful acceptance of that invitation to party, will you rise with me and recite our affirmation of faith, number 883 in your hymnal? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and to make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out the gray card located in the pew rack in front of you. Please indicate if you would like your prayer request to be shared or if they should remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. We offer our sympathy to the family and friends of Catherine Dinkins Graham, who passed away on August 24th. Private services were held. We also offer our sympathy to the family and friends of our most longtime member, Francis Wilkerson Rodenhauser, who passed away on Wednesday, September 4th, at the age of 102. Mrs. Rodenhauser joined West End on April 20th, 1924. Among her survivors are her daughter, Betsy Linseth, grandson, Michael Linseth, and his wife, Amanda, and great-grandchildren, Nate and Morgan Linseth. A private memorial service is still being planned. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who loves us and seeks us out, there is nowhere we can go where you are not. What an amazing thing it is to know that we are loved and cherished by you. Who are we that you are mindful of us? And yet, the stories Jesus tells us again and again reminds us that to you, each of us are of the utmost importance. God, we confess that at times we do not think of ourselves or others as worthy of your love. And sometimes in our own self-centeredness, we forget that your ultimate sacrifice was not just for us, but for all. Forgive us when we lose ourselves. Forgive us when we neglect your image in others and treat them as expendable. Help us to remember those who feel isolated or alone, who have either wandered off the path away from us, or whom we ostracized. Be with those who are sick, frightened, weary, or anxious. Be with the dying and those who attend to them. God, as Hurricane Dorian leaves behind a path of destruction, please be with those who have lost everything. Even in the midst of that storm, we know that you are there. We know that you weep with those who are lost and comfort those who mourn. And now we ask that you assist the rescue workers, restore hope, and give the people patience and courage as they rebuild. God, allow our presence and our gifts to comfort when there are no words that we can say to restore their lives. God, when our words fail us, we know we can always rely on the words that your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As God's gifted people, let us give our gifts back to God.
Thank you.
There's another witness. There's another witness. Let us go to be witnesses to the love of God in this world, for this world needs to know there's a party going on, and they're invited. Amen.